Everybody was kung fu. And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. What's left of this Friday morning? Text line, we'll try to work them in given time. 251-343-0106. We do appreciate you listening. Joining us now, we do this every week, our friend, our returning champion, as I like to call him, State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. It has been a busy week for sure. So much for the off season.
Well, it's I don't know. You're right there, kind of front row seat. It's the throes of tourist season, and I don't know how far you have to travel beyond your home base there, but you really sense it in Baldwin County all over.
It is tough. It's tough getting around. There's just so many more people here, and that's what my colleagues, you know, in the rest of the state don't always understand. You know, we always try to put it in terms they get it, but you know, we have an Iron Bowl here every weekend, and they come in and they come out and they move around on all of our side roads and everything else, and it's a blessing, but it's got its challenges is too. So we're definitely in the habit of, you know, when do you go to the grocery store and when do you not go to the grocery store and how all that works out. It's tough.
But I tell you, and you said something it might have been about a year or two ago, but it's funny how checkout time in Orange Beach, or checkout time anywhere on the Gulf Coast from, Apalachicola all the way to Dolphin Island has impacts on the state's highway system. Isn't that incredible?
It is, and I'll tell you, you know, I hate it for the folks in Clanton that see that, and Calera that see that, but I also, it drives home the point to my colleagues in the northern part of the state how important the beach is and how important Baldwin County is, because that's where they're coming from. And so that bottleneck moves up and moves through I-65 and gets bogged down, and that's why, you know, when Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth talks about, you know, the need for widening of I-65, how important that is for the whole state, for that entire artery to continue to move people, you know, efficiently back and forth up and down the state and to Alabama's beaches here in Baldwin County, because that's where they're going.
I mean, it's that bottleneck between Birmingham and Montgomery. Once they get to Montgomery, I mean, everything kind of pans out. There's like everybody's got their secret shortcut to the beach from that point forward, right? But like, it's all funneled into right there between Birmingham and Montgomery, and it's all driven by tourism.
Well, it is, and there's some spots south of Montgomery too that, you know, especially if you get a wreck or anything like that, that really causes some problems. But you're right that. That north of Montgomery to Birmingham, you know, those areas in there get really problematic. And Alba, to their credit, is doing some work there, but we need to continue to make sure that we continue that work on I-65 and do exactly what Governor Ainsworth is talking about doing, which is widening 65. And of course, you know, here in the south end too, you look at, you know, you drive around Baldwin County too, you know, you see a lot of Texas tags, a lot of Louisiana tags. All you got to do is go to the beach and see all those LSU fans. And so those folks aren't using 65. They're coming across 10. So that's got to be a priority as well.
I mean, I was coming back from Jackson, Mississippi the other day. Missed you there, by the way. But you feel it. Like, you're coming in on 98 or 45 there, and everything kind of funnels in going over the Africatown Bridge. And then it's like Grand Central Station right there where the Bankhead Tunnel, the interstate, and all that comes together. And, like, I'm so, like, you know, this isn't just even just a Baldwin County thing. I mean, you guys in Mobile, a lot of that backup's coming from the other side of the tunnel.
Well, and that's commerce. And again, that's something when we talk about tourism tax credits that we passed year before last and other – the other things like that, the tourism industry here, especially in Baldwin County, is commerce. It doesn't look like, you know, shift change at Austell or shift change at Mercedes in Vance, but those, you know, those condo check-in and check-out days, that's commerce, and it drives a huge amount of revenue to the state of Alabama. You know, our tourists spent just shy of $9 billion in Baldwin County last year. And if you think about that from a taxable revenue standpoint, That's incredible. And so, you know, that just has to be recognized as commerce, and we have to keep that commerce going in order to, you know, keep on to keep the machine moving. So it's not just folks being inconvenienced. It's what happens to that customer if they have a bad experience.
Speaking of a misguided transportation policy, and I promise I spent too long on this, but what are your thoughts on Amtrak and any kind of state investment as it pertains to Mobile?
You know, I think I am not in favor of that project. I'm not in favor of the state putting any money in that project. There are real places where that money needs to go. And I think this is a hobby for some people, and, you know, good for them if they like trains or riding on trains. But I testified before the Federal Surface Transportation Board, you know, against this project. I think it's going to cause problems. And in addition to that, I think it's, you know, there are open-ended commitments associated with this project. And I know I've talked to, you know, and I've heard some city council people in Mobile talk about, hey, it's not just $1 million. It's not just $3 million. They're open-ended commitments where the government, you know, the local governments or the state is serving as a backstop against, you know, Amtrak's projected revenues, which is a scary place to be. I mean, these folks should be on the hook for 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times what they think they're going to be paying, and that's not good fiscal conservatism right there. You don't know what you're going to be on the hook for, and oh, by the way, Amtrak's never met revenue projections, so it's going to be worse than whatever they say it's going to be.
Yeah, that $3 million. I mean, a turn lane in like, I don't know, Andalusia or something will be a better use of that money than what they want to do with it. But that's where you probably know where I stand on it. Hey, I don't know, Bill, this is a show the last few days, but this kind of came up earlier this week. Mayor Cannon worried about the potential for casino gambling in Baldwin County, particularly at the beach, if for whatever reason that a constitutional amendment is done, and it doesn't specifically say no casino gambling within how many ever miles of Baldwin County or the beach or whatever. Tell me this. It's caused a little bit of a stir. What do you make of that, of his comments? Because I tell you, like, the goal yesterday or day before yesterday when I had him on, I'll just find out how traffic was going now that the toll's gone. And it was like kind of a throwaway question. But he was pretty amped up about the way gambling had unfolded, and particularly the way members from Baldy County voted on that.
Well, Mayor Kennan's a true conservative, and, you know, he's got a set of principles that he lives by. He and I talk frequently, you know, he's a tough guy. He's not he doesn't doubt himself, and he doesn't doubt his beliefs. And I think it's fair to say he believes that gambling is bad for, you know, for the city of Gulf, or excuse me, almost made a mistake, the city of Orange Beach, and for Baldwin County in general. And I agree with him. I don't want to see casinos here in Baldwin County. That's why the House version of the bill was not acceptable to me. It came out with an amendment in the enabling legislation that purported to preclude gambling from, occurring in Baldwin County. The problem with that is it's just a majority vote in the Alabama legislature to change that. And that's a simple thing to do. That's all we do all day long when we're in session, is essentially change the law. And so that would be a very simple thing to do. One of the things I worked on in the Senate version of the bill was to make sure that language was even tougher, and that it was in the constitutional amendment, which would have meant that the bar was much higher and that the Constitution had to actually be changed in order to allow gambling in Baldwin County. But Jeff, as this process went on, you know, I made the analogy the other day that for your listeners that watch the TV show Yellowstone, this is similar to that. It's very similar to Yellowstone. This is fighting for your way of life and what casinos and gambling and those interests will do to politics and to our way of life here in Baldwin County and in Alabama. And so my concern is that even with it in the constitutional amendment, I don't know that that's not enough protection, that once they start really making money and throwing that money around in politics, that they couldn't just change the Constitution in 10 or 20 years. I mean, I was doing the best I could to try to get those protections in, and I was successful in doing so, but I'm still not sure that was enough protection because I don't want to screw up Baldwin County.
Well, what do you think the public opinion is here in Baldwin County? I mean, I always assumed, and I, you know, growing up in Alabama, it kind of following politics, like Baldwin County, at least the southern half of it, one of the like Republican holdouts, right? Like it was never like a big George Wallace, or it was never like even old school Alabama Democrat. And gambling, even back then, before Democrats were like they are today, woke, I mean, it was always just kind of a Democrat thing, right? That Republicans just didn't do that. But now, like, you have members, and I don't know if it's a change in the culture or what, but it's a little striking, Senator, that like, Shelby County, maybe some of the North Alabama Republican holdout places, and Baldwin County that have attitudes changed, or what's going on there, you think?
Look, Baldwin County is still very conservative, and even the folks that are moving here are still very conservative. They may come from California, they may come from Washington State, they may come from Michigan. I met a former Minneapolis police officer the other day that left the police force and moved to Baldwin County. They're conservative when they come here. They are political refugees from whatever liberal woke policies are happening wherever else, you know, wherever they came from. But Baldwin County is still very conservative. And let me be clear on this. There's nothing conservative about gambling. Nothing. The extra government spending, the extra entitlement programs, the we need more money for this, for retirees or schools or what, nothing is conservative about gambling. But what I hear from my constituents here in Baldwin County is twofold. One, we really do wish we could find a way to get a lottery, but we don't want any of this other stuff, not even a hint of it. And so if you can figure out a way to get us the lottery, that would be great, but not at the expense, absolutely not at the expense of widespread expansion of casino gambling in the state of Alabama. They seem to draw the hard line.
But the way I've grown to understand it, you're never going to get just a lottery. You're always going to have to deal with the other. That's the only way it passes. It's the only way because it requires 3/5 of the Alabama legislature, and you got to get enough votes to tag along, right? So, like, whenever I hear, like, well, I just want a clean lottery, that's, for now, for the foreseeable future, Senator, it's just not obtainable.
I agree with your analysis, and if that's the case, then so be it. And that's what I talk to my constituents with when I speak, Rotary Clubs or the Eastern Shore Republican Women or wherever. I talk to them, so I can't achieve this clean lottery. I don't think the politics will line up to make that work. And their answer is, well, okay, but don't do all that other stuff just so we can have a lottery. Don't ruin our way of life. Don't invite in all the things that Mayor Kennan enumerated just so we can go get a scratch-off ticket or a lottery ticket. Don't do that. And so I think that's the mood of certainly the voters, at least in a Republican primary in Baldwin County. They'd like to have a lottery, but they don't want all the other stuff that comes with it if that's the only way we can get it passed.
It feels astroturf to me. I don't feel this grassroots organic thing, even for just a lottery. I the way you get the public supporting it is if someone just happens to respond to some kind of survey, that there are so few people out there who are just like hell bent on this. I'm just not feeling it. Maybe I'm the one out of touch, but I don't think people are like, you know what would be great? If Montgomery would get off its butt and pass us a lottery. I mean, every now and then you'll hear that, but it's not something people are thinking about on a daily basis.
Not at all. And certainly when you explain it to people and you say, listen, the only way to get this done politically is to encumber this with all these other, these other things that nobody else wants. I mean, it's almost parasitic, right? In the lottery conversation as a host and the parasite, you know, that's hanging onto the host won't let the lottery go because that they know that's their meal ticket, right? And they got to go with the lottery. And so they'll kill the lottery in order to keep, you know, their piece of it, you know, living. And it's just, it's one of these things that just makes me shake my head. It's such an unsavory conversation to have. And when I explain it to people and talk to them about, you know, the political realities, they say, yeah, it'd be nice to have the revenue to do this or, you know, or be able to go, you know, buy a lottery ticket, but it's not worth all that other stuff. What I don't hear is, oh, we need to figure out a way to get the government a whole bunch more money and grow the size of government and do a bunch of entitlement expansion and stuff like that. I sure don't hear that from my constituents.
Well, I don't even hear. I mean, I hear this from some of my texters, like, well, that money's just going to other states to be spent. But, you know, there's this mythology that if you build it, they will come, and referring to the lottery, because the reason like Florida, Georgia did well with the lottery early on is because no one else had it and people would travel from out of state. No one is – if Alabama finally gets a lottery and you know, everybody has a convenience of playing it, but the idea that it's going to generate as much revenue as it anticipated is kind of a canard.
You are spot on. I mean, the idea that, you know, that I hear sometimes is, well, we could build the I-10 bridge if, you know, if we just had a lottery, or we could do the West Alabama corridor, or we could pave all I-65, or we could fix, you know, all of our education, you know, challenges, and everybody could go to college for free, and all these things that we could, everything we could do if we just had a lottery is nonsense. This is not a panacea. It's you know, it's $300 million in the lottery, and you start adding all these sports betting stuff and casinos, and, you know, you give away all your, you know, you give away all the good things in the state and what makes us, you know, Alabamians and sell out, and, yeah, you get $1 billion. Well, what are you going to do with $1 billion? I mean, I'm not saying that's nothing, but you can't – you can get a fourth of an I-10 bridge, you know. You know, you can get half of a West Alabama corridor. You just can't. You can't fix all of the problems with that. So all those people that say, you know, if we just had a lottery, we could fix this, or if we just had this revenue, we could do that. You know, I challenge you to start putting a pencil to paper and realize just how far that won't go. And to your point about Georgia and Florida, they're different. Florida just passed $111 billion state budget. Our two budgets combined are $11 billion. We're just $100 billion shy. We just have so fewer people, and it's just a different. It's different. It's not,
you know,
the
major American cities and things like that. You know, it's just it's right. But the Florida lottery, you know, back in the 1980s when it was kind of a new thing, that's when you struck gold. It's in 2024 or whatever. No one's, like I said, no one's like, oh, wow, Alabama's lottery now. Well, let me book my vacation for Coleman or whatever. I mean, it's just, or anything, any other kind of gambling. It's kind of old hat now.
It is. I think it is. And I think that the dangers that come along with it, just like Mayor Kenning said the other day, are just not worth selling out. We will end up changing our sense of place and what we've developed here, this family-friendly environment that is thriving in Baldwin County. You know, we're adding 7,000 people a day. They're not coming here for no reason. This is a great place to raise a family. And I don't want to mess that up. And I don't think adding gambling or casinos or even a lottery makes us any more attractive. I don't think that does anything for our brand at all.
Senator, got to leave it there, but we always appreciate your time, and let's do this again real soon.
We will do it. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. I sold up and she's gone. Guess I got